You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, and indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issue. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Sir Richard Branson. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, the kind of thoughtful leaders our McGill students are exposed to in our classes. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Éric Lachance, CEO of Énergure, the largest natural gas distributor company in Quebec and Vermont. Éric, thanks for joining us today.
Pleasure to be with you.
So what is exactly, for our listeners across the country, in Quebec we know Énergure, but for the rest of the country, just tell us, what is Énergure in terms of size and what you do?
Yes, absolutely. So Énergure is basically an energy distribution company. So in Quebec, as you mentioned, we are the largest natural gas distributor. We distribute about 97% of the natural gas that is being used in Quebec. But little known is also that we own almost 50% of our business now is in the United States. So we own Green Mountain Power, which is an electric distributor in Vermont, where they serve about two-thirds of the customers in Vermont, as well as Vermont Gas System, which is also a natural gas distribution company based out of Vermont. And around those, we also have, for example, in Montreal, the District Energy System, which is actually the second largest in Canada and will help heat the buildings that we have downtown Montreal. And we also have investment in renewable energy production through a partnership with Boralex here in Quebec. We do have wind farms in Vermont. We do have wind farms, hydro dams, and basically also a solar company, which is installing solar systems for the commercial and institutional market in the United States.
How many employees, roughly?
Across the group, it's about 2,500 employees, and in Quebec, it's about 1,600.
Okay. Let's just step back for a second. Tell us about your early years, Éric. Where did you grow up, and what did your family do?
Yes, I did grow up in the suburb of Quebec City, a city called L'Ancienne Lorette, for those that are from the area. Basically, grew up there until I left to go to McGill for university. Family-wise, my parents were working class, so my mother was a hairdresser. She had a salon until my brother was born. And then my father was what you call a millwright and a machinist. So he was servicing aircraft as well as taking care of industrial machineries, just making sure that they work properly.
It's a small world. My mother was a hairdresser. My dad was a janitor. So, again, that generation tend to be less education, more humble, very typical. So my wife's from Quebec City, so I know it well. We were there for a few years. Small town, Francophone Quebec.
Yes.
So it was a bit of a reach to go to McGill in English. Yeah. Why did you decide to do that?
Oh, well, I guess because I didn't know that I was not good in English. That would be the honest answer. For people that know me, actually, with you know, when I went to CEGEP, I went to Sainte-Foy CEGEP, and basically, I took English classes, and I was in advanced classes, translation classes. So everything in my mind was doing very well. The reason actually I went to Montreal is because I wanted to go in economics, but I wanted to edge my education with finance as well. And at the time, there were only few universities that would allow you to pursue both courses at the same time. So McGill was one of it. So I said, why not go to McGill? But to be really honest, when I did receive my acceptance letter, I had to use a dictionary to understand I was admitted to McGill. So the way I summarize it is, first year was just listening and headaches at the end of the day. Second year was really getting better at starting to talk, and third year, then that was it. It was a nice investment, although painful at some time.
As a kid, what did you want to do when you grow up?
Actually, it was not something that was clear from the early years. I was good at math, so a lot of people tended to see me in actuarial stuff, and When I reached the age of choosing my path for university, actually computer engineering was one thing that I was inclined to pursue. But I guess I had a rebel side at the time. So because you had to do the full science path and chemistry and biology and so on, I sort of said that the system was stupid. And because of that, I went into business administration. And I guess I was a good choice because that led me to go in finance and economics and pursue a nice career. But yeah, computer engineering is something that I think I would have loved to do as well.
We're speaking with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energer, one of Canada's largest energy companies. And energy is one of the biggest industries in Canada, from Newfoundland to the Arctic to British Columbia. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Clearly you're a leader today, CEO of a major organization. When did you first say to yourself, Eric, I think I might be a leader?
Oh, it's an interesting question. To be honest, for a long time, I thought that I would be a good second. And being a good second very often as you go through work also means that you're leading teams. So I had leadership experiences at different point of my time. But I guess it's only in the last 6 to 7 years that I actually realized that it could become an opportunity for me.
So what was your first job out of McGill then?
Yeah, first job was basically a mix of selling insurance and investment products. I quickly realized after a few months that this was not for me. So quickly I went to, still in the investment world, the retail investment, but I became a research kind of associates for a stockbroker. And then this led me to join the Caisse de dépôt and placement, where I spent a fair chunk of my career.
So at the Caisse, a big investment fund of Quebec for all of us, what was your last position there? What were you doing?
Last position was actually managing the Paris office for and overseeing the infrastructure investment that the Caisse had in Europe. Basically, my role was to build the team there. So I spent three wonderful years with the family in Paris.
Did you have to change your accent a bit?
Yes.
When I speak French in Paris, like, they make fun of me. So.
Yeah, my wife would kill me. But I did manage better than my wife to adapt a slight bit. But yes, you need to adjust a bit.
Well, they knew you were from Quebec.
Yeah, they knew it. And the good thing is that they love Quebecers. They appreciate us a lot. So it serves you well. Yes, so sometimes it would happen that people would answer to us in English because that's part of
life. Well, they answer to me in English too because of my French accent, but that's another story. So, how did they manage to get you out of Paris, and to what job?
Well, actually, I need to step back a few years to answer that question because people need to understand that throughout my investment work at the Caisse, before leaving for Paris for 3 years. Energer was one of the portfolio company that I was actually managing with my colleagues. So I was on the board of Energer, had the chance to meet Sophie and a lot of people that are still on the team nowadays. Then when I left for Paris, kept touch with obviously the management to exchange thoughts on Energer and so on. So at the time where the previous CFO announced to Sophie that he would entertain retirement in a certain horizon. Sophie and I had discussions about me joining, so that's how I crossed over the ocean and joined Energer, so as a succession of the previous CFO.
So you already had an interest in energy, and it was something you were looking at when you were at the Caisse, so it was not a new thing to you at all.
No, exactly. I had the chance to throughout the years, for almost 10 years at the time, be exposed to energy companies in North America and Europe as well, which I think provides a good 360 insight. I often think that on many topics around energy and environment, Europe tends to be a few years ahead. To me, that was good knowledge to bring back to the company, give a fuller vision of how things are.
You're listening to the CEO Series. And today I'm sitting down with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energer, one of the biggest energy companies in the country. So what brought your attention to energy in the first place? Was it any particular event or anything that made you be interested in energy?
No, actually, it was more as a coincidence. You know, when I grew up at the CAIS, I did both new transaction as well as portfolio management, as you would call it, always in private companies. And basically, the infrastructure portfolio got to a point where they wanted to have directors that would be solely focused on management of the assets. So that's pure coincidence that was the right guy at the right time for the job. And in the portfolio, there were a few pipelines company. And in Europe, particularly, there's more private companies in the infrastructure sector also. So more exposure around energy, but also had the transportation infrastructure experience, which is also quite interesting.
So you came in as CFO then?
Yeah, at Energia, yeah.
But you weren't a CPA, you were not like a CFO in a small company. Was it, you felt reasonably comfortable given your background at the CAIS and investment to step into that role?
Well, to do that switch, I would say that you need to have the appropriate size of a company in the sense that obviously, like you mentioned, I'm not an accountant by background, so the team can clearly not count on me on doing the accounting stuff, though I can read through numbers, trust me, and they know it. But obviously, to do it, you need a strong controllership, you need a strong accounting team. But I think my passage was, and you've seen it more and more in a trend that you see, that you want your CFO to be more strategic around the business. And what I always said is, for me, investment, I was good with numbers, I was good with finance, but numbers, being good at numbers and finance was a way for me to understand the businesses. And that's what I like doing investment, and that's what I like doing in my job. And what I like as a CFO was really trying to understand the business and use finances to help it go further. But more a strategic approach than sort of an accountant kind of background.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Éric Lachance, CEO of Énergir, a big energy company located in Montreal, but with considerable investments in the U.S. as well. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about what's next for Énergir.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. I'm sitting down today at the headquarters of Énergir, where Éric Lachance is the CEO. Before 2017, the company was called Gaz Métro. Why did you decide to rebrand it as Énergir?
Yes, I think it was their 60th anniversary. So there was obviously a good timing if we were to do a name change. But more profound than that is, I think it was a reflection, like I mentioned, people have known us for natural gas. And obviously that was embedded in the name. But we were more than that. And we are becoming even more than something else than just natural gas. So that was the market. And The name in French actually is a combination, if I translate it, of energy and to take action. So that translated very well, and actually what the team and the company believes in is that you need to take action to move the needle. So Énergir was a very great name that reflected a lot what we are actually.
So Énergir is actually a French word.
It doesn't exist, actually. It's a combination of energy and agir.
My undergrad students, by and large, would feel the world's biggest problem is climate change.
Yes.
What is Énergir doing about it?
A lot of stuff. First, we did acknowledge that this is a big problem and things will need to change. So, and this is not something that we started to work on only 1 year or 2 years ago. This is something that we've worked for many years. If you look, take the helicopter view, the energy world is going to transform like we've never seen in the next 20 years, for sure. because of a few trends that we have on the horizon, but decarbonation is clearly the major and the most dominant one. You'll also have decentralization of the production, so how you produce energy is going to change, and also all the impact of technology that will not only affect how we operate, but how it's going to empower the customer in terms of how they interact with energy. So with respect to decarbonation, when you look at the natural gas sector, our conviction is that we need to actually work on reducing the volumes. So for a long time in Argea, we've been pretty proactive in energy efficiency. This is something that we've started way before other gas utilities have done. Just to give you an order of magnitude, in the last 20 years, those efforts have resulted in about a 10% decrease of energy that would have otherwise been consumed. And we intend actually to do the same, but in 10 years now. Another thing that we're doing is around renewable natural gas. This is something that, again, was started 5-6 years ago, even more. For those that are less familiar with how can natural gas be renewable, basically is you think of organic waste, can be agricultural, can be landfills. Anything that decomposes basically typically will release methane and other GHG emissions. By capturing those, we capture the gas, we filter it, and then it becomes compatible with our other natural gas. So basically you remove one unit of carbon that would have otherwise be released. Obviously when you burn it, it's released again, but it's minus one plus one equals zero. So this is, we've been huge promoter of renewable natural gas. We're still among the top five I was reading this week in terms of production that is happening in Quebec because of the early efforts that we've done. And more recently, in the philosophy of accepting that the volumes of fossil natural gas will go down, we've repositioned our offering so that we'll focus less on volumes, but more where the network has value for the energy system. More concretely, what it means is that our conviction is that the challenge is so huge in the transition that you'll need a portfolio of energy. But you'll need to use them at the right place, at the right moment, and at the right price, more importantly, if you want to make sure that's going to be inclusive and affordable. So in that sense, we announced an agreement, a deal with Hydro-Québec around dual energy. So basically what we're doing is we are volunteering to reduce our volumes by 70% in the heating market of small buildings where it's possible to do it technologically. But reflecting that during peak hours where it's very cold in the winter, we do have value.
You're listening to the CO Series. And today I'm sitting down with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energer, one of the biggest energy companies in the country. You're trying to reduce the dependence on natural gas, get other sources of gas, mm-hmm. and that would be more local, so it saves transportation, get more efficient buildings, so we use less natural gas, and switch some customers to hydro more of the time. Now, it's interesting because you've also got, well, how did you end up going to Vermont? Tell us that story, and then we'll talk about wind power and so on.
Yeah, Vermont actually, the story started a long time ago. I think now it must have been 27 years where we first acquired the Vermont gas system, which was sort of a natural move. You know, they're just south of the border. And then there was a will for the company to diversify. So we went by degree of proximity. So basically saying in the way we managed risk is that you can accept to do something you don't know, and as much that you have other things that you know well. So we knew Vermont, we knew energy, but electricity was new. So we then did the acquisition of Green Mountain Power. And then came a follow-up acquisitions where Green Mountain Power did consolidate with Central Vermont Power System as well, called CVPS. To the benefit of the customers by bringing savings, by combining the two entities. And then that's how we got into solar, for example, or wind farms, but through a partnership with Boralex. Again, staying in our core, but one step at a time in terms of new diversification, if I may say.
So we have natural gas, solar, wind power, hydroelectricity. What is the cleanest of those energies, and where should we be going in the future? What's your thoughts on that?
I'd love to tell you that there's one which is best than not, and I'm not trying to escape the question. I would say that the one that you didn't mention actually is the energy that we don't consume, which is the cleanest. And I say it sincerely in the sense that when you look at the social costs of building the energy infrastructure that we will need to make that transition, every kilowatt, every gigajoule of energy that we can save is by far the cheapest that we can do. And it's also goes into a more sustainable world as well, because there's then when you look at which one is better, again, like I said, it's more the right energy at the right place at the right time. So obviously, if you look at solar, wind, they're non-emissive energy, so they're perfectly fine. But they come with the fact that they're intermittency, and they will require more infrastructure in order to support them. The example of renewable natural gas that I said, sometimes when you take, for example, agricultural waste, you can get carbon negative, actually. So one would think that because it's gas, is less good, but if certain kind of gases actually are better. So to me, you really need to look at the full cycle of the energy and have a portfolio of solutions to pick the most appropriate one, given the context, the geography, the weather. It's a complex issue.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Éric Lachance, CEO of Energeur. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CO Series. Next up, we'll talk about leadership and what it takes to run Quebec's leading natural gas provider, as well as Vermont Power.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today I'm sitting down in Montreal with Éric Lachance, CEO of Energeur, one of the biggest natural gas providers in the country. Recently, you announced a collaboration with Hydro-Québec, the big electrical power here in Quebec, to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. This is an unprecedented partnership between two major energy suppliers. Why did you decide to do this?
Our mindset was really to have an impact to help the Quebec government achieve its goal of reducing the carbon footprint of Quebec. So it was clear to us that, as opposed to other geographies where electricity needs to be decarbonized, for the background of your listeners, obviously Hydro-Québec is 99% already renewable. So if you want to tackle climate change, reduce carbon emissions, you need to look at transportations and buildings. And buildings, energy, obviously, through heating, we're there. So for us, there's two approaches. We could have taken the combative approach and wait for regulations to bring us in the right direction, or really embrace the fact that there is a challenge, but we better be at the table, collaborate with Hydro-Québec, and find a solution again where by doing this we would basically be able to move faster, but also to do it at the lower cost for the Quebec economy. And that goes back to what I was referring earlier. Our mindset is really that to be successful in the energy transition, to make sure that it's going to be affordable and that the consumer will be thought of, you need collaboration among the players. For us, it was natural to do it with Hydro-Québec.
Who owns Energeur?
Energeur is majorly owned by Caisse de dépôt and Placement du Québec, which is managing a lot of money for Quebecers through pensions and so on, but also by a Quebec-sponsored, a labor-sponsored fund, which is called Fonds de la FSTQ. And still, we're in the middle of a transaction right now, which should close, but we use also to have Enbridge as a as I speak, Enbridge is still one of our owner, but by the end of the year, the Caisse and their partners should have bought out Enbridge of our capital.
So you don't have the shareholders that businesses feel the pressure of. On the other hand, the case is not the easiest. You know, they have their challenges as well. You don't have to worry about a share price. But on the other hand, there's a tension between we can't just do good, we also have to produce some financial results.
I think the way I would phrase it is that they are concerned about value of the company or share price, but they have the perspective of a long-term investor, not one that's going to look at the quarterly result. So they're there to support us when we need to turn the corner like we did with decarbonation. They'll take a medium to long-term perspective on things, not just up to the next quarter perspective.
We're speaking with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energer, one of Canada's largest energy companies. And energy is one of the biggest industries in Canada, from Newfoundland to the Arctic to British Columbia. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. How do you do strategy at Energer? Is it you sit in your office, you close the door, think deep thoughts, and then come out and announce? Or how does strategy occur? But it's something where you got to spend a lot of money too. So how do you do strategy?
Yes, you're right, because we're a capital-intensive businesses, so we do spend hundreds of millions every year, and the infrastructures we're building going to last for decades, so we need to be sure. The way we do it at the group level, again, is making sure that we look at the key trends, those that I mentioned, for example. We set our level of ambitions, and we make sure that every subsidiary actually as a strategy that aligns with those and that makes sense. We have a handful team, but I think it's 3 or 4 person that make sure that we have an exercise of really challenging ourselves around those trends, and then making sure that we use a cone of uncertainty. So making sure that basically, there are things that you're sure. For example, renewable natural gas, energy efficiency, dual energy is very short term. So we'll make sure that the strategy is very tactical on those. But when you look at, for example, carbon capture, hydrogen, these can be game changers. We cannot go all in right now, but not doing nothing could be also a mistake. So how do we actually place the right energies on those less certain issues? So trying to have a sort of a two years horizon, a 5 year and a 10 year back horizon around those trends as well.
Europe's been struggling a bit with, they've moved to more alternative energies, but there's been some problems. What's your take or understanding of that?
It's a complex one, and obviously, I think the shortcut we should not take is to blame fully renewable energies. That would be seducing, but that's clearly not the case. The way I understand it is right now they're facing, like also in North America, increasing prices for natural gas, which is pushing a lot of pressure in terms of their pricing as well. Like we said, wind is intermittent. As I understand, there's been less wind nowadays in Europe, so it happens. So what, again, it needs is that, when I meant that the system, the energy system, needs to be transformed for the next 20 years, it's going to be important to think around the resiliency of the network. It's going to be important to think as to how different sources will complement each other to take account of that. And that's why I think collaboration is going to be very important. You know, in some markets, UK is a good one. United States is a good example. Europe also has been all about increasing competitions because they thought that as you be more interconnected and so on, the market will solve the issue. But what you're realizing is that there needs to be a concertation to make sure that nobody depends on the next door to have its energy, but you make sure that it does happen when those days, because I think they even had an interconnection problem in the UK, which didn't help for the electricity. But I remember at the time I was there, Europe pushed a lot of interconnection, which means by electricity to connect different markets. But then again, if you don't have the production, that's worthless. So you really need to have a coordination more than...
Energy released its first ever climate resiliency report earlier this year. What is the purpose of this document and why do you think it's important?
Yeah, obviously, and I think it's fair, there's a lot of stakeholders that want to understand how Energir is getting ready to face the climate change risk. So this is when we thought about how we would disclose around those issues, we look at the different framework that were available. So we chose the TCFD, the Task Force for Climate Disclosure framework, because we felt that that was one that will hold us true to addressing the risk, but also the opportunities. Because again, Energir, we're in natural gas in Quebec, but we are in electricity as well. So there's a lot of opportunities for electricity that will happen through the transition. Maybe less for natural gas, but there will be also for natural gas. So we wanted to, like transparency is part of our values. So we wanted to be transparent. We wanted to address the need of our stakeholder to understand what we were doing. And we use it also in terms of the scenario as a way of managing the business as well. We just don't want to do a report to do a report. So the scenarios that we will be updating this year, our mindset is really to look at realistic scenarios and how they can impact our business.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energir. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about, is Eric an introvert or extrovert, and work-life integration.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Today I'm sitting down in Montreal with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energir, which is a big natural gas company here in Quebec, as well as investments in wind, hydro, and other forms of energy in the northeast of the U.S. So you went from CFO to CEO.
Yep.
Is it different?
It is different, for sure. I think one of the things I realized, you love to think that you're accessible and everybody's going to tell you the truth. But the fact is, now that you're the CEO, it's not the same thing. So you have to be always aware of that. I would say that other change, there's CFO, you're already, I would say, part inside, part outside of the business, but as CEO, you're also even more on the outside. I always think that my role is to get the best team to work together, be a sort of a chief repeating officer internally, but also externally in terms of making sure that the business is aligned and working on the right things. But while I can certainly help to move things internally, where I can be more impactful now that as CEO, what I realize is externally as well. There's, for better or wrong, there's sort of the, you have access to other CEOs, you have access, you have certain accesses that you don't have. Again, I wish it would be different, but the fact is that that's where I find I can bring more value, even more. But CFO, you're starting from a good point on that as well, typically, because you're also externally focused because of financings, investments, and so on. So you tend to be in your community as well.
So Eric, are you an introvert or more of an extrovert?
Introvert, for sure.
So, but as CEO, you got to act a bit like an extrovert.
Yes. The difference very often to me is like, it's not that you're not able to do it. It's just that it's not your preference to do it. So you learn actually to that it's part of the job and to be more extroverted, but you do it the way, I think it's important that you do it the way you are. So as my team has learned, I'm more in particular to exchange with employees in this kind of format, for example. I'm not the kind of person that's going to go on a stage, do a speech and so on, but having a chat with employees is something that I enjoy doing. Having a chat with other business peers is something that, so it's more to realize that you have to do it and for people to adapt also to the fact that you're more an introvert kind of person.
So how do you recharge at the end of a long day?
Typically, the long day typically is, do you have time to recharge? But all the time is, I try to have it 30 minutes for myself. So it can be reading the news, it can be watching the news, can be watching a sitcom, but it's really to making sure that I have a disconnect of about 30 minutes.
How old are your kids?
They're 13, almost 14. I have that's a daughter. I have a son, which is now 16, and my oldest is 17, turning 18 in a few months.
So it must have been challenging during the pandemic. You have a big job. Did your wife ever say to you at a certain point, Eric, calm down, you're working too much?
Yes, sometimes the way she's going to... I would say she'll feel my mental presence or not. Actually, it's more obviously being at home. You are at home during a pandemic.
Yeah, yeah.
But all kidding aside, she'll perceive it by my interaction with the family if I'm too much into work. So she'll typically tell me, Eric, it's either you're in it and maybe just step away, and rather than pretending to be there and not being there. Or basically, it helps me remind me that I need to take some time off.
We're speaking with Eric Lachance, CEO of Energer, one of Canada's largest energy companies. And energy is one of the biggest industries in Canada, from Newfoundland to the Arctic to British Columbia. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. A lot of people, particularly CEOs, during the pandemic, like the early days, it's just... this is really important. They work too much.
Yeah.
Did you find that that you worked too much in the first few months?
No, not necessarily. Honestly,
okay.
The pace was obviously there was a lot of pacing, but knock on wood, we are in business where crisis sales and everything are already in place because of the business we're dealing with. So that it was more executing on the plan. For something we didn't know, basically.
You appear to be in fairly good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you keep in shape? Like, I'm a bit jealous. So how do you keep skinny-ish?
It's a mix. Obviously for weight, it's more taking care of having appropriate diet, if I would say. And the other one is I jog, try to jog two-thirds, three-quarter of the year. Typically summer, I take it off. But I have that tradition now for my sixth year of doing a semi-marathon on the day of my birth date, wherever I am in the world. Started that in Europe. So it's not participating in the competition, but it reminds me of the importance of being in shape. And I socialize it to as much people as possible. So make sure that since I have some pride, I'll do it.
So they'll embarrass you otherwise. So. In the middle, like in the cold of January, minus 20 in Montreal, you're out running.
I have a treadmill as well.
Okay. So you're not, okay. Some reality checks in. What, Eric, what is your passion? When did you realize it, and has it evolved?
Yeah, boring answer, but I'm not the kind of passionate person, actually. So if I had to choose something that I'm more inclined to, I would say that I discovered a liking for contemporary arts while being in Europe. So any city we visit, for sure, I'll make sure that I go in galleries and museums if there are contemporary stuff. But to say that I'm passionate about it, and to me it's an attraction. I spend some time on it, but it's, I don't know if it qualifies as passion.
So are you itching as a family to travel and go outside of Canada
and
go somewhere else?
Yes, the expatriation was created a bad habit of traveling a lot. As you know, Europe is a pretty small continent where in a few hours you can be in other countries, which we did actually quite a lot while we were there. So we kept the habit of traveling. Unfortunately, with COVID, we sort of refocused on our backyard, but we always have plans for next year.
So where would you like to go next summer in a perfect world? Where would the family go?
That's going to be Europe. That would be a mix of Spain, Portugal, and Paris. because we're fortunate enough that we have friends all across Europe now. So we try to combine vacation time with friendship time.
What book are you reading right now?
No Rules Rules, the Netflix culture.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And getting some points for Inner, presumably.
Try to take some takeaways from the book, but if you've read it, and for those that have read it, knows that there's many benefits probably in that culture, but nonetheless, it is, I would say, atypical. So in that sense, I'm not sure that everything would be implementable at Energir or would be fit for Energir, at least from our starting point.
If you weren't the CEO of Energir in a parallel universe, what would you be doing?
Maybe doing some, like I said, computer development, trying to create the next, I don't know, Facebook or whatever.
This is the CEO Series. Eric, thank you for joining us today. We also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna, our producer, Yosef Sahun, and scriptwriter, Stephanie Ritchie. Thank you for tuning into the CEO Series. À la prochaine.